You're listening to Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ehrens.
And I am Lindsay Ehrens. Let's go inside Utah politics. Thank you for joining us today. Utah's redistricting battle has moved into what could be a final decisive phase. A district court ruling this week put the legislature on a 30-day clock to approve legislative district maps, finding that state lawmakers had overstepped when they repealed a voter initiative to have maps drawn by an independent commission. Now, the ruling comes just a few months before the primary election cycle for next year's midterms, which could reshape Congress for the rest of President Trump's second term. So I'm joined today by David Ryman. He is the attorney for the coalition of groups that sued the legislature to get this ruling. David, welcome to Inside Utah Politics.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, well, first and foremost, when you saw the ruling come down, how did you feel?
Well, we were ecstatic. It's been a very, very long fight to put into effect the will of the voters that they expressed when they passed Proposition 4. It's been 7 years since that was passed, and we think the district court did a remarkable job of synthesizing a lot of legal issues in the case, and we weren't surprised by her ruling, but we were very gratified.
One of the main issues from her ruling, as I've seen it, is this crux of what the state constitution says about who has the power to redistrict. And lawmakers' biggest argument, at least the lawyers for the legislature's biggest argument, is the plain language of the constitution says the legislature shall divide the districts. The judge really spoke to this issue in her ruling, kind of explaining that she didn't see it that way. She thinks that redistricting is a legislative function, right? And that means that the people, via initiative, and the legislature have co-equal authority to redistrict here. This is a big crux of this argument that lawmakers are taking aim at. How likely do you think it is to be upheld by the Supreme Court?
We think it's very likely to be upheld. It's not a controversial proposition that the legislative power is vested both in the people and in the legislature. And she did what courts in other jurisdictions have done in recognizing that if the Constitution provides, as ours does, for the people to exercise legislative power, which is what the initiative is, then they can use that for anything that falls within the scope of legislation. And that's what they did with Proposition 4, and that we think that was uncontroversial. And she systematically rejected all of the different iterations that the legislature made of that argument and made what we think is a ruling that's highly likely to stand up on it.
When Prop 4 was being drafted, your clients, Better Boundaries and League of Women Voters and Mormon Women for Ethical Government, all these anti-gerrymandering groups, really stood arm in arm with the legislature, kind of created a compromise, and the whole Prop 4 was drafted under the notion that the legislature was given power to redistrict. It's why the proposition said that the legislature didn't have to accept the commission's maps, rather just vote them up or down. How do you square that now with the fact that the judge is saying that's not actually the case?
Well, I wouldn't characterize. Are you talking about the compromise or are you talking about Proposition 4?
I'm talking about Proposition 4.
Proposition 4, I think that she accurately described what Proposition 4 does, which is that it puts limitations on the way in which the legislature exercises its power to draw maps. It has the ability under Proposition 4 to say we're not going to accept any of the commission maps, but if it does that, it has to satisfy certain requirements, none of which it did, and it has to pass a map that is not a partisan gerrymander. That's what the voters of Utah voted for, and it is perfectly constitutional for the people to put limits on the exercise of that power.
But the judge here is saying that it's not the legislature, or that it is a co-equal power. So, I mean, again, the proposition was created under the notion that it was the legislature's power. I mean, is that not accurate?
No, I don't think that's quite correct. I think that the theory of Proposition 4 and what Utah voters approved is that voters were tired of partisan gerrymandering in this state, and while the legislature has the duty to put maps into place every 10 years, it can't do so based on a partisan gerrymander. And the people, as the co-equal body with legislative power, and actually the source of the legislature's power, have the ability to say that, and that's what her ruling upholds. So, from my perspective, it's entirely consistent what the court said with what Proposition 4 did.
So at this point, the judge has said, toss the current maps we're using, and the requirements of Prop 4 are now the law of the land. Can you run through those for our viewers so people know what exactly the legislature needs to be creating maps under if they do indeed comply? And that'll be my next question.
Sure. And there are a number of them, but let me just mention a few. One is that, and none of these were complied with to begin with, but the ones we pointed out to the court, among others, were that they, they need to vote up or down on the commission's maps, which they didn't do. If they're not going to accept one of those, and they don't necessarily need to, they need to explain why in writing to the public. They need to put whatever map they're going to adopt out for public comment for 10 days so that they can accept comments. They didn't do that. And then if they do, and there are some other things, but the core requirement that voters approved was that whatever map they adopt, it has to comply with a number of neutral redistricting criteria. So it cannot be the type of partisan gerrymander that the legislature ultimately passed. And the problem that led to this case is that the legislature repealed all of those requirements, all of those mandatory
They don't see it as a partisan gerrymander. They see it as we wanted a little piece of urban and rural in every district. I know you're going to say, well, it cuts up Salt Lake County into four districts, so it is fair that it does that. But again, their argument is every representative should have a little bit in each district.
Yeah, that's just doublespeak, and it's wrong, and we look forward to proving that wrong in court. You can model maps according to the criteria that voters approved, and the evidence that we'll present will show that it's not just kind of partisan. It is one of the most extreme partisan gerrymandered maps that's ever been proposed anywhere in the country.
One of the other arguments is Republicans in this state don't really need to gerrymander because even if they draw maps that comport with those criteria, they can still have Republicans win every seat. So again, yeah. That to that argument that they didn't actually gerrymander.
Yeah, well, with respect to the congressional map, the one for the House of Representatives that our case concerns, that's just historically not true. Before they put into place what they did in 2021, as anyone who's lived here for any period of time knows, there was at least one competitive district that flipped back and forth between Democrats and Republicans. And one of the sad things about this whole process is that Republicans couldn't even abide one of the four districts that had a chance of electing a relatively moderate Democrat. They wanted to essentially stack all four districts in their favor, and that was what led to them carving up Salt Lake City, Mill Creek, really, into four different pieces that is not supported by any credible neutral redistricting.
So you don't buy the fact that they think that's just the best pizza pie way to redistrict?
No, of course not. I don't think any serious person looking at the map would buy that. The idea that we need an urban and rural mix is just an excuse to be able to dilute the power of people in Salt Lake County.
Let's move on to what you think is next. What do you think the legislature's next move is? Obviously, we know they're going to appeal, but what do you think they do?
Well, I know what they've been ordered to do, and that is to do what they should have done in 2021, which is to pass a map that was consistent with the requirement voters approved. We expect that they will do that they will comply with the court's directive, unless they are told by a different court otherwise.
What happens if they don't?
Then they could be subject to whatever sanctions the court fashions to ensure compliance with court orders. And courts have a lot of tools to do that.
And can the judiciary here require the legislature to call themselves in a special session? Because what she did was require that they fix the unconstitutional maps that she says we're sitting on right now. And in order to do that, they have to call themselves in a special session. Again, another one of those arguments from the legislature is the judiciary can't require us to go into special session.
Yeah, and that's not exactly what she did. What she did is enforce the provisions of the Constitution, which require them to pass a legally compliant map. And if that requires them, given the timing of where we are, to go into special session, then that's something that they have the power to do. All she has done is what courts are designed to do, which is to enforce the provisions of our Constitution and enforce the rights of citizens in the state to require their government to do do what the law requires. And, you know, if they are complaining that it's only now that they have to do this, then this is, it's worth remembering that this is a mess that they created when in 2021 they repealed Prop 4 and they passed a map that did not comply with what the voters ruled, and when they repealed Prop 4, they did it in an unconstitutional way. And under the law, when you do something that's unconstitutional, that law is what's called void ab initio. It's as if it never existed. And so that's why the court said Prop 4 is and has been the law in Utah. So as of right now, the legislature is not in compliance with the law. And it is the role of courts and the duty of courts to enforce the law and to require compliance. And so any complaints that this might require them to come into special session, which, you know, we have heard they were likely to do anyway, those seem like excuses to me, not an actual argument.
Final question, and just a yes or no answer because we're out of time, but do you think the U.S. Supreme Court gets involved here?
No.
Okay, we'll see if that actually comes to fruition. David Ryman with the plaintiffs here in Utah's redistricting case. Appreciate your time today. Well, still ahead on Inside Utah Politics, we'll hear the other side of this argument. One of the named defendants with the legislature joins us to look at what the state could do next.
You're listening to Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ehrens.
Well, welcome back. Our dive into the battle over Utah's congressional maps continues. A judge has ordered Utah's legislature to draw new maps by September 24th, ruling that the legislature unconstitutionally overturned a citizen ballot initiative aimed at preventing gerrymandering. Now, Republican Senator from Brigham City, Scott Sandel, joining us today. Senator, welcome to Inside Utah Politics.
Thanks, Lindsay. It's good to be here.
It is good to be with you. Okay, you were part of this redistricting. You're actually named in the lawsuit, so you are a defendant in the lawsuit. Your just initial thoughts when this ruling came down?
I probably wasn't shocked, but I tell you, I was a little displeased with the fact that the judge would maybe step on the Constitution of the state of Utah. The Constitution clearly says that the legislature shall redistrict. I think the waters have been muddied enough times that we've maybe forgotten what the Constitution actually says. And we're in a little bit of a circle loop.
Well, it says the legislature shall divide the districts right into your point, drawing the lines. But what she said with that argument was that redistricting is a legislative function, and the legislature and the people have co-equal power to legislate via our state constitution, right, which the Supreme Court upheld. But obviously, your side of the aisle, you, are disagreeing with her interpretation of Utah's constitution here.
Yeah, well, that's very correct. I think we have gone in a little bit of a circle around constitutionally who's in charge, and I think that's something that we've got to look at in the future. I will say that I was very confused with the judge's ruling in that she seems to have stepped over Proposition 4, even in her own ruling, by allowing or requiring plaintiffs to draw and submit maps. I don't see that anywhere in Proposition 4. So I'm a little concerned that from the bench, she's trying to either legislate or rewrite Proposition 4.
Well, Proposition 4 created a commission that could submit maps, right?
And so, but not the plaintiffs.
Well, the plaintiffs being Better Boundaries, who ran the initiative.
But they're not the Independent Redistricting Commission, which is the ones that are tasked with the legislature in submitting the maps.
Okay.
She's stepped outside of that.
Mm. Is that why the legislature has come out with a statement saying, we are going to comply with this judge's 30-day order to draw these maps, but they believe that her decision to require that within 30 days is unconstitutional. Can you explain to me why?
I'm not sure that it's unconstitutional, the 30 days. I think it's a tight timeline. I think it's a tighter timeline than we would ever imagine in doing this. When we spend 6 months trying to do this, 20 meetings around the state, I spent hundreds of hours looking at maps. Now we're required to somehow do it again in now 27 days.
Why do you believe she came out with this 30-day timeline?
Well, I think it's because that's the timeline to try to get maps in the 2026 cycle. If we go longer than that, I think she knows, everybody knows, that this decision would have to postpone until 2028.
But isn't that fair because we are currently sitting on unconstitutional congressional lines right now?
explain to me why we're on unconstitutional congressional lines.
We're on unconstitutional congressional lines because the judge has said that redistricting, the proposition that created an anti-gerrymandering commission, the legislature didn't follow those rules when they redistricted. And so they overturned that proposition and then created their own maps that didn't follow Prop 4's maps. So she's saying that because the maps were created as a result of overturning that proposition, that therefore we're sitting on unconstitutional maps.
Well, the whole process was done under law, under current law, and under every guideline that the Supreme Court's given.
Right, but you changed the law that the people voted for, is what she's saying.
Yeah, she's saying that, which is an interesting thought because Better Boundaries actually proposed and supported SB 200, which changed the law,
right,
which, again, muddies the water. So the judge, quite honestly, has sent things into a little bit of chaos.
Yeah, it's hard to understand why they did support that compromise. I think that after the maps came out and they took a look at them, they believe they are gerrymandered, and so then they decided to sue, right?
Yeah, they didn't like the result, and so they sued basically on the result. I'm not so sure that they sued on the process. They would have been happy had the legislature adopted one of the maps that they liked, but they didn't like the outcome more than I believe that they didn't like the process, because they agreed to the process.
Did the legislature gerrymander here?
Gerrymandering, we consider everything that the Supreme Court has allowed, the U.S. Supreme Court, in all of their decisions. The states have never, at least the state of Utah, hasn't weighed in to this degree. So we were following U.S. Supreme Court rulings on how we redistricted. We wanted to keep districts compact as possible. We wanted to make sure that underserved populations were represented.
But you didn't keep them compact because you drew a line through Mill Creek. Is that keeping a community intact?
Well, now you've changed what compact is to community of interest.
Okay.
So compact means that the lines are mostly together.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Now, a community of interest is something that we grappled with, quite honestly, and a community of interest means something different to every person. For one person, a community of interest is the parents whose kid plays on the same ball team. To another one, it's the people they go to church with. And to another one, it's the people in your county. So technically, I think we have over 3 million communities, definitions of community of interest. So we have to be careful not to mesh communities of interest with compact.
Sure.
Because when you do compact, and quite honestly, the last part is you have to make equal districts according to the census.
Right.
And so we complied with all of those things. Now, an unsaid part of redistricting, which may be particular to Utah, is we are 67% federal lands. Most all of the resources that we depend on in our urban area comes from our federal lands. Our water does. We also recreate heavily on those federal lands. Now, I believe that it's in our best interest to have congressional districts that incorporate both urban and rural, because we're so intertied that we can't have a congressperson in a seat that is only taking care of urban interests. I think we're better served if we blend them.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing. I said it when we redistricted. I kind of laid that out as one of the criteria that I thought we should be able to follow.
So let me ask you directly again. Do you believe the legislature gerrymandered here?
No, I don't believe the legislature gerrymandered in the fact that to gerrymander is to create a district that only one party can win. It's a weird, gerrymander is a weird definition.
Well, Republicans can only win in the districts that we've drawn, can they not?
I think if you look at the political data that we looked at afterwards, I think it's pretty much evenly split. Conversely, if you were to create one solid district in Salt Lake City, that would be gerrymandering as well.
So you're saying the districts are evenly split right now.
I'm saying that as close as I could tell, that Republican-Democrat split in the districts were quite even.
Okay.
But if you create one sole district in Salt Lake City, I do believe you have a gerrymander situation.
Okay.
Where only the Democrats can win there and Republicans can win in the other three.
So you're saying that either way it would be a gerrymander?
Either way it looks like one side can complain or call gerrymandering.
Let me just end with asking you where the legislature goes from here. They've come out and said, we are going to comply with these maps. What do our new maps look like? And then what is the next steps? I've heard talk of a constitutional amendment to make sure that the legislature has sole power to redistrict. I've heard talks of overturning some language in Prop 4. Where will the legislature go?
Right now, the legislature intends to produce and submit a new map to the judge. Basically, because we want to make sure that the judge understands that we take our constitutional duties seriously. We're not going to just say no, because quite honestly, the court has ordered it, and it is our responsibility to redistrict. So we're going to do that. Along with that, I believe that we will protest the idea that our original maps were somehow unconstitutional, because I believe they are constitutional. We could very possibly ask for a stay based on certain criteria that the judge has laid down in that. But I do believe we will submit a map.
And if the Utah Supreme Court doesn't grant you your stay, do you go to the U.S. Supreme Court?
That is an option that's open, but I don't believe we've discussed that far yet.
Okay. Senator Scott Sandel from Brigham City, thank you so much for letting me grill you today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Lindsay.
All right. Well, coming up on Inside Utah Politics, could the National Guard deploy to more American cities? How the war of words is playing out between the president and Illinois Democrats. Well, President Trump is facing pushback on his proposal to deploy the National Guard to more major American cities. He's hoping the crackdown in Washington, D.C. could be a model to address crime in cities like Chicago. But state and city leaders there are firm in their opposition. News Nation's Millie Hayes has the story.
President Trump says the military will be ready to deploy in any U.S. city to fight crime with a 24-hour notice, even if a state governor does not request it. And here in Illinois, the governor, J.B. Pritzker, definitely not requesting it. In fact, telling the president he is not welcome here. Despite this, President Trump blasting the city of Chicago from the Oval Office, saying that it's a mess.
And we will solve Chicago within 1 week, maybe less, but within 1 week, we will have no crime in Chicago, just like we have no crime in D.C. The governor of Illinois should say, President, would you do us the honor of cleaning up our city? We need help. They need help.
So far, no formal deployment order. The Pentagon confirms only planning discussions, but just the possibility of it sent protesters to the street outside Trump properties armed with signs and anger. People who live in Chicago are divided over the potential deployment.
That's the different way, but I think little help is better than nothing, but I'm not sure.
Our problem in Chicago is not really a gun problem. It's a mental health issue. It's a lot of problems that can go wrong when you bring a military into a general population of a city, period.
I want them both to stop the political theater. And if that means bring our National Guard in for presence, then so be it, because we got to do something. Children are dying.
Over the weekend, Chicago police say 6 people were killed in shootings and 27 more injured. I asked Governor Pritzker what he'd say to the families of those victims. Governor Pritzker and Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson responding.
Every single person that is the victim of violence in any city across the entire United States is worthy of our sympathy and also worthy of having law enforcement go after the perpetrators. That is what we do in the city of Chicago. That is what we do in the state of Illinois. We will not give up on that.
Chicagoans are not asking for a militarized force to occupy our city. They're not asking for that. I can tell you what Chicagoans are asking for. They want us to build more affordable housing. They want us to invest more in young people.
Mayor Brandon Johnson says that the city is solving more crimes now than they have in a decade, with a 76% clearance rate for all homicides in the city. In Chicago, Mills Hayes.
Well, that's going to do it for today's Inside Utah Politics. Now, stay in touch with us on social media, would you? You can find me on X, Threads, and Instagram. Just search for Lindsay On Air. You can also find Inside Utah Politics in podcast form. So wherever you get your podcasts, again, just search for Inside Utah Politics. And if you're looking for more national political coverage, check out the new show from our Next Door National Network, Political Power Ranker. Our national political director and the head of Emerson College Polling look at who's up and who's down in the world of politics based on the data. Now, we carry that for you on our free streaming app. It's News for Utah Plus. You can download that on Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, and Apple. Well, thanks for joining us this week. We will see you next week.